Hello, I'm Scott Levine, and you're listening to the Hood Rat Recap Podcast. I'm not a perfect place to go slide your little phone into the airplane mode. Motel Mariposa, a little south of downtown on the frontage road. Seeing stars in the scorch mark, hearing bass lines in the buzzing of the lights. Down to the desk and say we're gonna need another night.
We got bored, so we started a podcast about the best bar band in the land, man. This is the Hood Rat Recap, and we are back. We are your steady stream of the unified scene, all the news and reviews of the band that you love, we love, and we woke up in 2024, and the band has 20 years of albums, and we're just hoping for 20 more. Hello, everybody. This is Stage Right Mike on the mic, and I can talk hold steady all night. And when I like to talk hold steady heavy, I like to throw up the rat signal, and just like that, the Hood Rat Pack has assembled, and we got a couple extra hood rats here today. But as always, sitting closest to me, I see the Unified Scene's very own King of Queens, Gasper. Gasper, how are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, Mike, but you know what? I've been trying to get people to call me Ace Frehley.
Why is that, Casper?
Because I'm back with that New York groove.
How's that working out for you?
Not very good, man. Not very good. People keep calling me the pet detective.
Alrighty then.
What are you, Ace Ventura? You're a dick, all right? I mean, come on, pet dick. Well, is this what we're doing? Jesus Christ, talk about Dumb and Dumber. And now I feel like Lloyd Christmas myself, having to listen to you give those Freddie Knuckles. I'm sorry, people.
All right, and that's the sound of our third mic and our producer, Kevin is whatever. Kevin, how you doing today?
I mean, I was doing great right up until that Freddie Knuckles. And I feel bad for our guests in the studio with us right now, because when I think you're going to get better, and I was like, oh, he's really hot right now in the news, you throw a shit ball like that and just... Thanks, pet detective. I hate you, Jim Carrey.
I was hoping for a tongue reference.
And like Kev said, we do have live guests for the intro. That's the first time we did a Freddie Knuckles in front of a live audience. Say hello to Beth and Kat from Vermont.
Hi.
They're not guests. They're fellow hood rats.
They are fellow hood rats.
So, guys, we've seen a ton
of shows. Actually, we've seen no shows this year together. I would like to just quantify for people listening at home. You know, fair point.
No, this year.
All right. Fair point. All right. So, 2023, we've seen a lot of shows together. So, I mean, there was Boston. There was Positive Jam Fest, Massive Nights, a couple others, too, if I'm not mistaken.
I went to Las Vegas.
All right. You guys went to Vegas. I did not go to Vegas.
It was my first show without Beth. In 24 shows without her.
Wow.
Oh, wow. So why don't we start off with, like, how did you guys get into the hold steady?
I was actually, I got into lifter puller first. I used to manage this huge, crazy used clothing and furniture store called Battery Street Jeans. And I ended up hiring this very interesting swath of people. And one of the people I hired was a woman who always had her finger on the pulse of music. And she introduced me to Fiestas and Fiascos. And I really dug that album. And we used to blast it all the time in the store. And then there were a number of years that were a little bit of lost years, where I lived in this crazy punk house called the Narthex, and we just threw parties and bands would come and play, and it was a little bit lost in the mist. But at some point during that time, someone started spinning Hold Steady albums. And so I just sort of absorbed that through my time in the Narthex. And then after I started remembering how time passed once again, I started enjoying and remembering the music again.
Nice. How about you, Beth?
I'm not really sure. I think I don't even remember. I just was upset that the Gaslight Anthem had broken up and was looking for a new favorite band. So I think someone recommended it to me.
So what was your jumping off point for the whole study?
It's actually just listening to albums. Like, I really liked...
I like that Beth's introduction to the band is so much healthier than mine was. Downright wholesome. Like, yeah, you know, she explored music and got more into the band. Yeah, I was a fucked up little punk rocker for like
living in a weird punk rock community in a house with people, and like, hey, let's just throw out the next band we're all going to listen to, and the Hold Steady drew that straw. Whereas Beth was like, ah, the band I love broke up, so who reminds me of them? And up and comes the Hold Steady. Nothing wrong with that. Still great stories.
Beth, tell us, what's your favorite Hold Steady song and why?
Heavy Covenant. Because I like horns. I don't know.
Okay. Well, you're very definite on that answer. You have like no
questions. Oh, also $40. Right. I'm obsessed with them getting them
to play. See, now we share that because I am also obsessed with them getting them to play $40, and yes. I've never heard them play it. Have you ever heard them play it at all? Or?
No.
Favorite band. She stayed out too late again. The band's back in Birmingham. She didn't go to work again.
I don't know. Have we ever figured out? Have they ever played it live? This is where Kevin gets on his
hold.
Computer.
That's what I do.
Setlist FM. They have played it. I think it's been a long, long time. So I don't think any of us would have heard it.
It just makes no sense because it's like you have this amazing song and why aren't you playing it?
Mm-hmm.
Has nobody asked him that during the Q&As, by the way? Like, has that not come up?
I don't know if we have asked that.
I mean, you go to every Q&A. You can't throw Beth a bone and be like, hey, can you...
Right.
When are you ever going to play $40 again?
That's the plan for this year's Massive Nights, is to ask them to play $40 at the soundcheck.
Thank you.
I cannot find the last time the Hold Steady's played $40. I'm back a bunch.
I don't know if they have.
I'm back a bunch of years in set list, and it has not come up.
That's your answer, then. It's been a while.
Yeah, I honestly don't know if they've ever played it. Like, because if you think about it, it's not even really a release song. It's a B-side. Not even a B-side. It was an outtake.
They keep playing Death of a Punchline, though, so that's not an excuse.
Right, but Death of a Punchline was like, it kind of should have been on. Like, that wasn't an outtake per se, right? They just didn't include it.
$40 should have been on the album, too.
Fair enough.
I mean, Kat's making her case that $40 should have been, you know.
Now Adderall is one of those things that, like, yes, an outtake, but played at so many shows.
That's a top five song for me.
Mm. Yeah. But the Dead were famous for that, playing songs that, like, they played for, I think Throwing Stones was not on a record for years, and, like, everyone knew the lyrics to it. So the other thing to point out about Beth and Kat is you guys are travel partners to, I mean, beyond the Hold Steady, just a bunch of stuff, right? Like,
yeah, actually, a lot of our trips have been based around the Hold Steady, like... I never would have gone to London or probably Toronto or anywhere like that.
Is London the furthest you've traveled for the whole study?
Yes.
Okay. How about you, Kat?
Yeah, same. The only show that we have not been to together was the Vegas show.
Right.
And, that's my music bestie. We find a location that the band is going to be playing and then just build a whole crazy trip around it. And we have all these adventures, and we see roadside attractions, and we meet all sorts of wacky people, and then we get to see a bunch of killer shows and see all the unified scene. It's fucking
so
amazing.
Is the Hold Steady the band that you two travel the most for? Like, is that an easy get, or are there other bands that... Okay,
yeah.
So it is the Hold Steady kind of exclusive.
We went to see the Menzingers in Albany last year, so that's like 3 hours.
And,
but
you know, we've gone to shows in Montreal. We saw Frank Turner in Montreal last year. And we've seen shows in Boston together, but the big travel is always Hold Steady. And we go to a lot of shows at Higher Ground in Burlington as well. which is the local club.
Correct me if I'm wrong. You guys live in the same state, but you don't live close together. Am I right? Or,
oh, you no, we did. Close... We hung out last weekend. Oh,
okay. Yeah, we're both in northern-ish Vermont. I'm a couple towns over, but
okay.
It's... Oh, okay. I thought.
Yeah, she was over at my house on New Year's Day.
And Kat's actually going to be my travel companion for England this year for the whole study. We're going to go on an adventure together and do a little sightseeing and be tourists.
Yeah, I'm super stoked. More folks need to do that.
And then I love the I've talked about it a lot on this podcast, the photos you take along the way, Kat. Whenever you go on one of these adventures, you always take a bunch of photos along the way.
Oh, yeah. Thanks. Yeah, I do a lot of photography. I really love shooting overlooked Americana, so I'm always traipsing around through the desert, finding abandoned mining towns or old neon signage, or Beth is used to me dragging her around New York City going, I just need to go in this alleyway and up this scary flight of stairs because there's a ghost sign on the side of this building that I absolutely have to shoot. Hold on, I'll be right back.
There's sometimes like abandoned houses too, you know, overgrown with like
places you shouldn't be with like asbestos ticks. And fungus. And like, that's where you're going to go.
Yeah, right.
The photo
exactly.
Shoot.
Yeah.
That's nice.
That's where she likes to go. Yeah. I just sit in the car and look at my phone.
Let me just shoot this abandoned motel. I'll be right back.
For those
there.
That heard our yeah. last episode too, Beth and Kat were actually the reason that Mike had to ride in the trunk of Gasper's car when we went to Massive Nights because. As they're so friendly and forthgoing to the scene, we were going to go to dinner. We picked them up and they're like, hey, our friend's coming with us. In a car that seats five, we had six and Mike found the trunk quite comfortable.
But in fairness, that was like a 4-block ride in the trunk. It wasn't that bad.
That's
and also it just contributed to that feeling of going to Rocky Horror Show. Because in high school, that was exactly how we all did it. We piled, you know, 8 people in a small sedan.
Right. I mean, and I could say that because I wasn't the one who had to ride in the back of the trunk, so it was very
I mean, I was
me.
Actually for all of us it was great because we all had seats. Mike was the one doing yoga.
I got that Pulp Fiction feel where you guys opened up the trunk and everybody's staring down at me, which made me feel a little uneasy, but I got over it. I got it.
So one of the stories I was hoping to get out of you guys was a little bit more detail of how you guys met, because I found that very interesting.
I joined roller derby around 2008, and Kat was a member, and she was the Wabash Cannonball, and I was Ethel Benzine. And we actually became friends because of music, because I think she was wearing like an Operation Ivy t-shirt and had like some Modern Lovers on the skate playlist. So we became friends because of liking all the same music.
I love how in Vermont, joining roller derby is just so blase. Yeah, we're in roller derby. Yeah. Like you told the story, like Gasper and I are in New York. We're like roller derby. What? We don't even have a roller rink, let alone a roller derby. And you're like,
because there is no roller derby here. And I would 100% go see roller derby because that sounds
girls.
Like fun.
The Gotham girls are based.
Oh,
in
they
New
are. Now I gotta look them up. Well, you guys are so blase. But yeah, we were in roller derby and smashing the shit out of each other. And, oh, by the way, we like to hold steady, so let's be friends. That's great story.
Yeah, it was Roadrunner by the Modern Lovers. Yeah. I put it on the derby playlist. I used to do a lot of the DJing, mostly because I was the only person who could kind of want to. But yeah, and it from that grew a great friendship. And a shit ton of bruises.
That's amazing.
So now is roller derby, is that... How do I ask this? Not sound like a jerk.
There we go. I can't wait. I can't wait for this. This is going to be better than Freddy Knuckles.
Well, because look, admittedly, I don't know anything about roller derby other than like, what was that movie where the
Whip It?
Yeah, that's roller my ball. Knowledge base.
It's funny. I was thinking of Rollerball and Gas would take some Whip It. So yeah, Mike and I were like Rollerball with like beat the shit out guys. Of each other, and Gas was like Whip It, you know.
So is it legit run like a sport? Like I would join a soccer team and now I'm on the soccer team? Or is there like a WWF part
to it? There used to be
it?
More, when it first started out, like 15 years ago, there was a little bit more of the WWF fun, like tutus and fishnets and, you know, elbowing people. But now it's more of like a legit sport with uniforms, people using their real names. More
so like it's a real game. It's not like, I actually thought
it's pretty intense.
It's legit.
Okay.
Awesome. We used to have to practice 3 or 4 days a week, and we had bouts, and we were in training constantly and constantly fundraising, because it was at the very beginning of when roller derby was kind of becoming in people's awareness, and we were the first team in Vermont. And yeah, it was pretty intense. And all of us who have left roller derby, usually it was because we got pretty damn injured and had to stop playing.
Yeah. I wonder if we could get the band to do like a charity roller derby or a league.
And there's a lot of coordination.
We could have Beth and Kat like run the official Hood Rat roller derby.
The coordination is insane. There's so many refs and all kinds of support staff.
Next time.
Although we did used to have bands playing during the intermission. There were a lot of teams that did that. I don't know if anyone still does, but we used to have bands during intermission.
Did the team have like a theme song that you like came out to that was like the hype song when you came out? And do you remember what it was?
We did not have a theme song, but because of my name, I had my own theme song.
Oh, you personally had your own theme.
The Wabash Cannonball is an old Depression-era folk song. About a train that goes all over the U.S. and all the hobos love to ride it.
From the great Atlantic Ocean to the wide Pacific shore. From the queen of glowing mountains to the south bell by the shore. She's mighty tall and handsome and known quite well by all. She's the combination on the Wabash Cannonball.
It's a really sort of fun, pumped up song. So we all kind of each had our own introduction songs. We play little snippets for the introductions, but my name baked in at a theme song already.
Awesome. Well, you guys definitely have the best like how you met story I've ever heard.
That is true. Yeah.
I think it's pretty, like you said, it's pretty blasé. We just met at roller derby.
Yeah, you know.
When we were starting up a team in Vermont, like you do.
So does that team still exist and you guys just aren't?
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Yeah, Beth's partner, Rhett.
Well, he's coaching them.
Cool.
Do you get to go back to the Rock when he shows up at WWE and the place goes nuts and they're like, "There's the Wabash Cannonball!"
The Rock
like,
is back.
That's like a big deal when that happens. So,
I've been out of the game for a while. I only skated for 3 years. We got the team up and running, and then I broke my ankles repeatedly and
I broke my tailbone.
Oof.
Yeah,
got a concussion.
Oh wow.
Yeah. A little crack cocktail.
See, and I think being in like the floor for the whole steady shows are violent, and then you guys come along with your roller derby, and I'm going to go stand in the back on that too.
Really, it's great though, because I mean, I can throw elbows like no one's business. Even though in derby you're not supposed to throw elbows, it's all a shoulder bump and a hip bump, but they sneak in.
So it does sound like the party pit kind of.
I was going to say, that's why she has no problem getting in the front of the stage every time, because she's got the elbow from her days in roller derby.
And you could definitely see when you see her at a show, because, you know, it's the natural inclination of like the crowd gets a little crazy and you try to like, all right, I got to watch out for these people. And there's Kat with like both arms up ready to go. And I'm like, she's fine.
Again, I came up in the punk and hardcore scene. I've been going to shows since I was in my teens. And I'm short. I'm under 5 feet tall. And so you either got to, you know, grab a stance like a Weeble and wobble and not fall down, or you're going to get hurled to the side or hurled to the ground.
So we asked Beth what her favorite Hold Steady song was. We haven't asked you yet. What is your favorite Hold Steady song? And why?
Oh, mine is really dead obvious. It's Constructive Summer. I have a quote from the song on the giant honking tattoo on my arm. It's one of my favorite points in the show when it gets played.
Man, my friends are
feeling the oomph of energy and excitement and joy because everybody knows it's going to happen, but it's not a surprise every time, but it is just, it's such a palpable feeling mm-hmm. every time it gets played. The lyrics have a lot of meaning for me, and that's my big one. And my lesser known one that I always want them to play, but I've never heard, is Curbs and Nerves.
Okay. Wow.
Good one.
Did they play that at the 20th anniversary show?
Yeah, they played it at the show that I didn't go to.
Mm. Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I was just thinking.
Wow. She really wanted to hear that, the show she didn't go to. Way to bring that up, co-host.
They did release that record, though. They did release the live recording of the 20th anniversary show. So there is a recording of it, at least. But
she wasn't there.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I've never done much for live recordings. I like to experience them live or listen to the record most of the time.
No, I tend to agree with that. I'll only listen to a live recording once. I feel like it's almost like a movie for me. Like,
then
once
it's not live anymore; it's recorded. No,
I mean, I guess maybe that's what it is. But it's just like I'll listen to a live, like not just for the whole study, for anybody. Like I'll listen to it once, and with the exception of Iron Maiden's Live After Death, like. 15-year-old me is like in the back of my head going, we listened to the hell out of that record. So that is true.
You did play that cassette way out in the day. Yes.
Thank you for showing my age saying that I played it.
For those listening at home that don't know what a cassette is, it's this little pancake looking thing with two holes in it that you would just play a tape. Crazy.
And then have to wind back up the pencil when it got messed up.
Is that what they had between 8-tracks and CDs?
Cassettes are making a weird resurgence.
They are coming back.
Yeah, we have a big cassette label here in Burlington, actually.
Really?
Or they may still be around. Yeah, MMA tape.
Of all the mediums to bring back, like, why would you want to bring that one back?
With a rewind, you got
to
fast forward and rewind.
The kids like to be iconoclastic.
I had somebody once give a client a Foo Fighters record on 8-track, and it was like a cool thing because he had a custom made, but I'm like, what are you going to do with this? Nobody has an 8-track player. And he's like, they sell it on eBay for $99. I'm like, don't even waste the $99 to play this once. It's
right. But then, like, in the middle of Monkey Wrench, you got to deal with
right. And then it's going to clip.
Yeah. Awful. Awful.
Also, it's the Foo Fighters.
Do you not like the Foo Fighters?
There we go.
Here
we go.
That's always the ringing endorsement you want for your band.
They're fine.
They're fine.
They're fine, biggest rock band in the world. They're fine.
So with all the shows you've seen in 2023, which in your opinion was the best show?
Not Boston.
Boston was fun though.
Yeah, tell it like it is.
We had fun.
Boston. We had fun at the show.
It was weird.
Okay. Thank you. I just want to know that I'm not crazy.
The crowd wasn't into it.
Although you did get Dinosaur Jr.
Yeah, it was a strange crowd. Although seeing Dinosaur Jr. and then the whole study.
Right.
I was going to say Dinosaur Jr. Crazy. It seemed like that night especially was a way bigger Dinosaur Jr. crowd, but it just felt like something was off on the Hold Steady side of things. It just was not my favorite Hold Steady show.
Well, I think we're just used to being at massive nights where everyone really wants to be there.
Yeah, I think that's true.
That's
four
one
nights
thing
in a row, you know?
I agree with you there. Like, because going to a few shows now in different places, there is no crowd mm-hmm. like New York. Yeah. I'm about to see how England is.
Well, England's pretty fun too, but
England's pretty excited to see a band.
You're going to get murdered.
Yeah, front. They are.
There's no fire codes. It's just madness.
All right.
This is a country that did not have coconut moons or the Triangle Shirtwaist fire. There's no ocean happening here. It's
madness.
But I also think that's what happens when you put them together with a band like any other headlining band, like that, it kind of splits the crowd and it changes it, with the exception of the Mountain Goats. I think Chicago, like, people were just as excited to see the whole city as they were the Mountain Goats. But, you know, putting them with Dinosaur Jr. or putting them even with, like,
Built to Spill.
Yeah.
I feel like when you see them out in New York, too, it's different. And that was one of the few shows I had seen them out in New York. But, like, because there's such a New York crowd and you get to see those Brooklyn or Williamsburg or wherever shows we've gone to see them so many times, like, it's kind of like a hometown gig. So it's always going to feel different, even if it's not massive nights, as opposed to, you know.
It is. But the thing is that so many people come from other areas that, like, how much of a New York audience is it really? Because half the audiences are from New York.
I mean, you've seen them in Nashville and some of those other places where it's like, you know.
Nashville, I made a big mistake in Nashville, and I don't really remember the show very well. I promised myself I would never drink like that at a whole study show.
That's the endorsement for the Nashville performance.
Well, because you get caught up in Nashville. Like, Nashville is about drinking and woo girls going by on the bus. That's what Nashville is.
Not sure I know what a woo girl is.
Yeah, you do. They're the girls who are all they're at a bachelorette party, and everywhere they go, they just go woo for everything. That's the woo girls.
Gotcha. It's like the woo crew, but
gotcha. Okay,
right.
Yeah, but chicks,
like the woo but drunk.
Gotcha. All right, guys. So I got a brand new game, and it's called
The Numbers Never Lie, But They Also Never Tell the Whole Truth.
So I was just looking up some numbers, and did you know that Spotify is 30.5% of the streaming market is where, you know, I thought it was bigger than that, actually. But does that surprise anybody? It's only 30.5% of the people listen to music on Spotify. What else? I mean, me and Kevin do Apple.
I do. And when you get international, things like Deezer and some of these other stuff that aren't even known here are so much bigger outside the country that those numbers are skewed. Like, Spotify wants to think they're the biggest in the world, but they're not.
I think what it comes down to is it's kind of like the way everything's divided with phones, right? Like, you either have an iPhone or you have an Android phone. And the people who have Android phones can't stand Apple. So I think the people who have, for the most part, who have Spotify are trying to stay away from Apple Music because Apple Music sucks. Sorry.
Way to get all political on us, Gasper.
So now, Kat, your team Spotify, is that where you just yelled out?
I have a Pixel because I buy my phones for the camera, because a lot of the times if I'm doing some Rurex or something, which is exploring rural abandoned places, I don't always want to bring the giant Nikon with me. So I want a camera phone that is mostly camera.
Okay, so this game is based on Spotify numbers only, and I'm not going to give you any help here. I'm keeping the guardrails off. So I know some people are going to give Taylor Swift numbers, and I want to see if some people give Fab Moran numbers. Does anybody remember who Fab Moran is?
I don't even know who Fab
Moran is. I thought Kevin would know.
Is it what? Yes.
Why are
we just gonna say,
is he
the dead one though?
He's the surviving
one of them's dead.
Milli Vanilli, and he has a solo career.
Does he? No. Wow.
I had that tape.
Okay.
All right. I had that. I had that tape too.
So,
girl, you know it's true.
good girl.
Just blame it on the rain. So, guys, here's my question, and I'm gonna start with the lady. So I'll start with Beth, since she's sitting on my left here. The Hold Steady, how many plays on Spotify do they have per month?
400,000.
What'd you say?
400,000. I don't know.
Okay, 400,000. What do you say, Kat?
1.2 million.
Okay, Gasper, what you got?
We're playing Price is Right rules here.
Yes.
No.
$1.
You can.
I'm gonna go.
You can't go $1 under. You can't go
$365,000.
Okay. What do you got, Kevin?
I think you guys are crazy.
Yeah, Kevin's gonna win this because he's got insight into Spotify.
Yeah, this is Kevin's job.
This is what I do for a living. So I'm gonna go 73,000.
Oof. So Kevin, he actually knows his stuff. It's 80,800. So not quite 81,000.
And I can say that it's not and let me quantify. I'm not shitting on the band we all love. It's got nothing to do with the Hold Steady. Rock music on Spotify as a genre doesn't do well. And so the biggest rock bands aren't hitting numbers where R&B, hip hop, pop gets into. So, you know, because we consume our music, most Hold Steady fans probably own their CDs and vinyl and bought the digital download. So like, they're not really streaming it unless they have to, and they're probably listening to it in other ways. So, not to be unfair to them, but that's where I guess like 75.
So it's kind of the opposite. In the old days, they said Pearl Jam got lesser numbers from record sales because they said their crowd was really digital, and they were just digitally, and they said so they didn't get as many sales. And now,
because we were stealing it,
well, that's true too.
So now we're kind of saying it's the opposite. We're saying Hold Steady fans that have the old. And so just to put emphasis on your numbers, Taylor Swift does 108.3 million a month. And Fab Moran, with his solo career from Milli Vanilli, does five. He doesn't even get a decimal. He gets five the actual total. Numbers. He does 5,081 a month.
I'm going to go listen decimal. Now and boost those numbers.
So okay. Now when he's 5,082 next week, it's because of this episode.
Me and Kevin.
You're welcome, Fab. All right, then it'll be 5,000.
Okay.
I lied. I'm really not going to listen to him, Beth. You can tell question. Me how good it is.
Okay, here's part two of my question, guys. So we got the Hold Steady. I took another The H group. So I got The Hives, and I got Titus Andronicus. So put them in order from 1 to 3, who gets the most listens a month. Well, starting with you again, Beth.
Probably The Hives, and then Titus Andronicus, and then the Hold Steady.
Okay, what do you say, Kat?
I am going to go the exact same order. The Hives are really well-known internationally. And then Titus, and then the Hold Steady.
I agree with the Hives. I'm going to say the Hold Steady beat out Titus Andronicus, but only because I'm biased. I like Titus, but not as much as I like the Hold Steady.
What do you say, Kevin? You were so close last time.
I got to go with Gaspar on this. I don't think Titus is bigger than the Hold Steady. And the Hives are a massive band. That last record did incredibly well. I wouldn't be surprised if the Hives have 1.8 million and probably Titus. Jesus,
you're really good at this, Kevin. So the Hives are in first with 2.3 million. So you're really close.
Yeah.
And then the Hold Steady with their 80,800.
And Titus, I bet you they have 18,000.
Titus has 32,700.
All right. That's what I do. I study these stupid numbers way too much. But yeah. And again, I love Titus. I've seen them with the Hold Steady, and I've listened to their records. And the Hives, another band I enjoy, but I don't love nearly as much as the Hold Steady. So take for those numbers what you will. As Gaspar likes to say, popularity doesn't mean it's good. And which is why we
that is
right?
Honestly, that's an argument
we have this argument all the time. So.
And this has gone on. So I know Kevin a long time. I mean, I think I know you since I'm, what, 18?
Probably.
And we used to have this late night argument in a bar all the time about the difference between rock star and icon. And then it literally just became like you'd name someone and then we would argue whether they were rock star or an icon and what the difference was. And that's something we should do a whole episode on that one day. One day. That was a lot of fun, but probably because we were drunk.
Right.
But anyway – do you have a round three to this, Mike?
Oh, if you guys are up to it, I do have a bonus round here.
I'm in.
Okay.
I'm 2 for 2.
Okay. Okay, so this is the first game we named after a Craig Finn solo album. So let's go with it. Let's go with Craig Finn solo. And then how about Lifter Puller? And since we're in Minneapolis, how about Dillinger 4? So put those three in order. And again, we'll start with you, Beth.
Wait, what was the three?
Craig Finn.
It's Craig Finn, Lifter Puller, and Dillinger Four.
Oh, that's tough.
Okay, so what order are those three groups in Spotify? Go ahead, Beth.
I'll say the way you said it. I'll say Craig Finn, and then Lifter Puller, and then Dillinger Four.
Okay. What do you think, Kat?
I am going to say Lifter Puller, Dillinger Four, Craig Finn.
Okay. I'm going to say Craig Finn, then Dillinger Four, then Lifter Puller. I don't know if that's been said already. I've lost track.
No, I think you're the first one. I think. Okay.
I'm going with Kevin's Craig Finn, really Dillinger Four, Lifter Puller. And I only think because Lifter Puller is not active, I don't think they get a lot of streaming attention.
So here's my theory on this is that – so Craig Finn right now between all his solo records has gotten quite a bit of notoriety. So I think he's – up there, and he's got more people listening to him. Dillinger Four did well in their time, and I think Lifter Puller was very localized and then just became the lore of the Hold Steady for a lot of people. So that's my thinking on that. But
all right, so we're not going to let Kevin play anymore because he's too good at this. So Craig Finn comes in first with 25,800 a month. Dillinger Four almost tied. Well, basically it's a tie. They got 25,000 a month. So they just in a slightly less. And then Lifter Puller, and I disagree with this, but they come in below the Fab Moran line. They come in with 3,186. And I think that's how many times I listen to them on Apple each month, but that's all they come in on Spotify.
I'm pretty sure that's how many times Spotify's algorithm tosses. I might be cropping up.
And it also means, again, Lift a Puller is not an active brand at this point. Even Fab Moran, for as much as Milli Vanilli's not a thing, he's out there working his solo. And look, Craig's got a bunch of dates with the Mountain Goats, and like that's an established band. I do think the Hold Steady is bigger than D4. So like it's a numbers game. And it doesn't say, if you would have said Lift a Puller was higher, I would have been surprised, but nothing about that breakdown. In fact, maybe D4 being as high as they are is a bit of a surprise.
All right, so we're calling this game Rock and Roll Problems, and you guys are going to assume the role of a Dear Abby type, a rock and roll guru, if you will. So we have a letter of someone who wrote in with their rock and roll problem. You're going to offer them some advice, and then guess who they're talking about, and there are clues in the letter. Oh. You ready?
I guess.
All right, here we go.
Well, Tom, I'm so excited.
I'm nervous.
I mean, I feel like my backstory on this whole podcast has really been – never ask me for advice. I am maybe not the person to take life advice from, but sure.
I think you can handle this.
We like to live dangerously.
Let's see how it goes. Dear Rock Guru, I recently started a band with my two friends, the Hogan Brothers. We figured everyone else is doing it, so why can't we? All of us are really into the Smiths and Joy Division and music like that. We just needed a singer and found this guy named Niall, who was the drummer of a band called The Hitchers. He was also a songwriter. As it turns out, he's a terrible singer, and his songs are weird and are not a good fit for our band. We played together for about a year. We all knew it wasn't working out. Neil decided he wanted to go back to the Hitchers anyway, and he even tried to help Mike and Noel and I find a singer. We recommended a few guys he knew, but we all decided maybe we should try out a female singer. One of our girlfriend's sisters had a friend from a few towns over who was supposed to sing well and was willing to try out, as long as we agreed that we wouldn't end up being a cover band like a bunch of zombies. So we gave her a try. A short tomboyish girl with a keyboard under her arm showed up at the studio. She had a really strong voice. It went really well with the jangly pop style of our sound. We gave her a tape of some of our instrumentals that we had wrote, and in just 1 week, she came back with a finished song. So what do you think? Should we let her linger in our band? Signed, Fergal.
Cat knows. Do you have a guess, Beth?
Is it the Cranberries?
It is the Cranberries.
These guys are too smart. They don't rock too much. These guys are too
smart. That one was easy. Okay. I'm surprised at how easy. I think you had a lot of clues.
I threw a lot of hints in there. And,
that's true. And
we discussed that one before we did it, and I
had less hints. And we're like, it really was deep dive.
But all right. So yeah, you got it right. And so the advice would be then let her in the band, I'm assuming?
Sure.
Yes, continue and become legendary at the end.
So, and actually that's a true story about them giving her the instrumental, and she came back with the song Linger, actually. Oh, wow. Was the song she came back with. So wow. Yeah, and that's Rock and Roll Problems.
Oh. There you go.
So Beth and Kat successfully got the band right that the letter was talking about. So you're both going to win a copy of the posters that Hurricane Jess made.
Oh, nice.
So we'll have them sent out to you. So congratulations as our first winner of Rock and Roll Problems.
Nice.
Warm beer to the summer smoke and the meatloaf to the Billy Joel. Certain songs, they get so scratched into our souls.
So guys, as you can tell by the music here, this is our little From Meatloaf to the Billy Joel. This is where you kind of describe music that you think would transfer over to maybe it's music people haven't heard of, maybe they know it really well, but just kind of a music you think would transfer over to a Hold Steady fan. So let's start with Kat this time. Kat, what do you have anything? Entry for Meatloaf to the Billy Joel?
I'm going to do a hometown plug.
Sweet.
I'm going to go for the band called Death. It is not only one of the greatest music documentaries ever made, It is about a band called Death, who originally started in Detroit and moved to Vermont and tried to make a go of it and did not, because as it turns out, in the 1970s and into the 1980s in Vermont especially, people did not really know what to make of a black punk band. And then as the years went on, the Hackney Sons all became heavily involved in the music scene and actually formed a band called Rough Francis. So I'd recommend both of these bands. But Death's recordings have been resurrected as a result of this documentary, and they're fucking fantastic. They're releasing new music, both Death and Rough Francis are. So that's my big shout out to the punkier side of things, and a little plug for Vermont as well.
Awesome. So is there a particular Death song that you would say would be a good jumping off point?
I mean, maybe Politicians in My Eyes, because it's probably the most well-known.
1, 2, 3, now!
Oh, wow. I'm looking at Spotify numbers. 5 million spins on Politicians in My Eyes.
And also, every single one of the Hackneys are some of the nicest men. And actually, there's a bunch of Hackney ladies, but all the men are in the bands. But all the Hackneys are delightful human beings. They've given a ton back to the music scene, and they're all amazing. And they all put on killer live shows.
I'm definitely going to check those guys out. So, Beth, I know you were really excited about this segment, especially. Do you have anything for us?
I actually wanted to talk about how much I love Meatloaf. The actual
right. Meatloaf. The food or the singer with the sweaty singer?
Both, but the sweaty singer. I just wanted to give a plug for the Bat Out of Hell album, which is best listened to on like vinyl that your stepdad had from the 70s, but you can also probably listen amazing. To it on like Apple Music.
I have that record from the 70s, actually.
So good.
Especially the title track is what I want you to dedicate 10 full minutes of this podcast to making people listen to it.
Say 10 minutes you might not get through a single song. His songs are pretty long.
Well, the first it is 10 minutes long, the Bat Out of Hell title track. It's so good. and it's got all these change-ups.
What a great song. Like, I mean, that record metal. Is so good.
Yeah.
Jim Steinman and Meatloaf, really. And then the second one is good, and that's where I'd Do Anything for Love came from,
right.
Which probably most people would know. And to Meat's credit, he gets almost 4 million monthly listeners to this day.
I just saw that, yeah.
That's a lot. Go Meat.
Well, he's passed away.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's also known, I think we mentioned Rocky Horror Picture Show earlier, as wonderful Eddie from the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
And Fight Club.
And Fight Club.
Fight Club. But, he's awesome.
He is awesome in Fight Club. But for
his name is Robert
for
Paulson.
Most of the movie Robert in Paulson. Rocky Horror, not to be a spoiler, he's dead.
Fun fact, when I was going to Rocky Horror shows when I was in high school and thereafter, the character I usually played was Eddie.
Amazing. Oh, wow.
And another fun fact, he was Scott Ian from Anthrax's father-in-law. Because Scott's he's married to Pearl, who's Meatloaf's daughter.
Oh, wow.
Yep. So
I had no idea.
Yeah. It's a fun little side fact.
And Meatloaf makes total sense to bring up in this segment because they're all over Hold Steady music, lyrics, basically. So it makes a lot of sense.
I do have a final thing I'd like to say. When Beth and I first started going to shows, it was just the two of us, and we did not know anyone. And the first, maybe a couple of years or so, we felt a little adrift. And we were going to shows and having an amazing time and jumping up and down with folks in the crowd, but we didn't really know that many folks. And then over the last 3 or 4 years or so, just meeting so many people and becoming friends online and becoming friends in person and just constantly meeting new folks at shows has been an incredible experience that's really heightened my love of the band. The band and the unified scene together are really inextricably linked, and it's been a phenomenal time. So I'm always so stoked to see folks at the shows. And you all know what I look like and come say hi and we'll jump up and down and sing along together. But it's really lovely. It's an amazing and impressive thing that has grown up around this band.
I will say, if you're ever fortunate enough to go to a Hold Steady show with Beth and Kat, you're really in for a good time, because I'm probably, out of everybody on this show, the guy that's probably seen them the least. And even though it's been, we were saying 20, 25 times maybe at this point, but like, going with you guys to Boston and the massive nights, like, it's just such fun, because I always say, like, I'm the guy who stands in the back. I'm a little jaded. But when I get to go with people like yourself that genuinely enjoy it in such a pure way, it makes it fun. So if anybody listening gets to meet them and go and hang with them at a show, you're literally in for a great time.
Yeah, I'll even give up my seat and ride in the trunk for them anytime.
It's the only time I've ever seen it done.
Absolutely. Like, you guys are like actual friends. I think I talk to you guys more than sometimes I talk to Kevin, because we're in this chat together. I agree wholeheartedly.
Yeah, come up and talk to Kat. I'm a little more awkward than Kat. I'll be in the back with Kevin, but... Cat will be friendly.
I am Beth
Handler. Handler.
I'm just the first line. I just, just run up and talk to everybody, and so excited to meet folks. And thank you so much for the kind words, you guys.
Oh,
no, really.
Like I
it's
said,
been
you guys
great
are part
and it's
of the
been...
Hood Rat Pack. You guys are definitely
it is. You're always one of the first people to comment and like, and we do appreciate the feedback. And even when we were talking to Massive Nights, and you're like, oh, we loved listening to the Freddie Knuckles and stuff, and like, it's legit. It and we appreciate it, because we, as I say at the end of every show, we do it because of people like you. And having you on the show has really been a great And it's been a lot of fun. It really has. The hour that we've been chatting has gone by so fast, and just can't thank you enough for giving us some time tonight in the middle of this crazy storm. Is, you know, this is an audio podcast, but if you see, Kat is kind of doing this by candlelight almost at this point. The light of her phone is just lighting her face, and that's all we get to see. All right, so that's going to do it for us on this episode of the Hood Rat Recap. Thanks, everybody, for giving us a listen. If you like what we do, go on our socials, give us a like, a follow. We do this because you guys listen, and we just love talking about, on this episode, the five of ours favorite band, The Hold Steady. And Gaspar, why don't you tell them where you can find us?
Yeah, so you can find us on our link tree. It's the best jumping off point for the Hood Rat Recap, where you'll find all our socials. You'll find past episodes and this episode. And it's linktr.ee/thehoodratrecap.
Yeah, and if you decide to send us an email or letter, like you guys made fun of us, or a voicemail, letter. The good thing is you won't.
We don't have a P.O. box.
You won't have to wait in line. You'll get right to the front. So send us a voicemail at the Speak Pipe. I'll put the link in the show notes. Please send us a voicemail, and we will get you on the next episode.
Please send us a letter just so we can send it to Beth.
I have Gaspar's address. I could literally send a letter.
Nice. All right. Thank you guys very much for joining us. And I'm Gaspar. That's Kevin. That's Mike. And that's the one and only Beth and Kat. And us guys and all you guys and gals. We are all the Hood Rat Recap.
Showing party songs good.
We have someone who wrote in a letter, and they're going to present you with their problem. You have to give them advice and then guess who they're talking about. And
someone really clues. Write you a letter?
Yes. No.
No.
Oh. You guys are
what
bad.
Does that say about our podcast?
Way to mess up the mystery, Beth.
You guys are so mad somebody actually wrote a letter? I thought nobody used...